Trouble. I can't have any more slipping. Well, you're milking it, I can tell. Anyway, and Jennifer said amen. Thank all of y'all for coming. I hope everybody had a good time. I know we did. God is good, amen, all the time. Glory to God. I told Beth, I said, well, I don't really have nothing for you right now. I said, maybe I will when I get up there. You know, if you've got to have everything in your life just written down or just planned out or whatever, you're not going to go very far. You know, it's good for us to make plans. You know, everybody that has a job that's supposed to be at work tomorrow, we plan on going to work tomorrow. You plan on doing something. But how many knows the Bible says that God directs the path? Sometimes our plans are not the right plans. Sometimes our plans are not the right timing. Right? Just like I can just imagine Abraham whenever God told him, you know, that get up out from your kinsmen, go to a country that I'm going to show you. It wasn't convenient and wasn't planned out. He had no idea where he was going, except he knew God. You know, the Bible talks about how that Abraham walked and he lived by faith with God. Faith didn't just start in the New Testament. That's been from the beginning. The Bible says that God calls those things that be not as even though they were. He didn't look and say, "Ooh, it's dark out there." He said, "Light be." How many knows he said that by faith? Why? Because it wasn't by what he could see. You get what I'm telling you? Now see, we've been talking about walking and living by faith, and we have to learn how to do that. Because before you get born again, you do not walk and live by faith. You walk and you live and you conduct your lives by what you see, by what you feel, by what you hear, by what the news says, by what your surroundings tell you and all that kind of stuff. Then once you get born again, you're supposed to live from within. What I mean by that is, your outward man did not get born again. Your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, did not get born again. And your flesh, your physical body, did not get born again. But we are a spirit, and we have a soul, which is your mind and your will and your emotions, and we have a physical body. The way I say that is kind of like, this body is my car that drives me where I want to go, or takes me where I want to go. You get what I'm saying? See, that car out there is not you, is it? But you get in that car, you choose to get in that car, and it takes you wherever it is that you want to go. That's how you're able to conduct business here in the earth. But when you get born again, it's your spirit man that gets born again. He is a new creation. He's never been before. The Bible says once you get born again, that all things, behold, all things are made new, all things are of God, right? The Bible says that inward man, he's created in righteousness and true holiness, according to Ephesians, right? So that's the one that you, now you have to live after. And how many knows that's learned? The Bible says if you are his sheep, if you've been born again, then that means you are his sheep. And he says you hear his voice. And the voice of a stranger, he said, his flock or his followers, they will not follow. But how many knows that voice has to be discerned? It has to be learned. A lot of times, even now, I'll be like, what is that? When I hear something. Or maybe a better way to say it, because I don't hear it with these ears, I hear it in here. It's kind of like a sense or a knowing. I don't hear physical words like I would hear you saying something. I hear it on the inside of me. Then how many knows you have to discern that voice? What is that voice saying? Well, does it line up with what the Word of God says? That's one of the reasons why you need to know the Word of God, because see, we don't live by this written Word. We do, but we don't. How many knows there's 66 books in this Bible. But how many knows, and that's a lot of word, how many knows you need the word for the time that you're in? Not just everything that's in this book. See, you cannot just live by just written word. But you do live by what becomes what we call rhema to you, what that word is saying to you. Now, at all times, we're to walk in love no matter what. All times, we're to walk and live by faith no matter what. But just kind of like for an example, we know Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given, right? Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. But now, when you're sitting there or out somewhere or whatever, how many knows God doesn't want you to give to everybody every time? But see, you could say that script, the Bible says that. Well, yeah, the Bible says that, but what are you getting in here on the inside? It's kind of like y'all may remember the story that I told y'all one time that I heard. Keith Moore, he was working the phones where you call in, you know, and do prayer requests and things like that over there for Rhema. And a lady called in, and she's crying, and an older lady, and she's crying, and she's distraught. She had got robbed. They hit her in the head and took her pocketbook and all of that. So anyway, she called in, and she's wanting prayer, you know, and she's talking to him and wanting to know, why did God let that happen? And so, well, he doesn't know, you know. How many knows you have nothing unless he shows you something? You have nothing unless he tells you something. Just like this morning, I didn't have a clue when I got up here, but we're sure rolling now, huh? I had to do that by faith. God, you are in me and you are faithful to your people, right? The Bible says he prepares a table before us in the very presence of our enemies. But anyway, back to the story that I was telling you about. The lady's distraught, can't figure out why God let that happen and everything, and he doesn't know. So he begins to question her, you know, ask her some questions, you know, well, did you have some reason that you had to be down there in that part of town or whatever, go in that direction or whatever? Well, she's going to a shopping sale thing. Well, tells him where she's going, you know, going shopping or whatever down that way because they're having a sale. Well, then he begins to ask her more questions, you know, well, did you pray about it? Did God lead you to do that or whatever? She said, well, I Psalm 91'd it. Y'all know what Psalm 91 says, right? He'll give his angels charge over you, bear you up in their hands, lest you cast your foot against the stone, and no plague will come near you, you know, and all that kind. How many knows you can't just pull out Psalm 91 when you want to? Now, let me say this. At all times, we walk and we live by Psalm 91. We believe that. We confess that, right? That his angels, because we fear him, his angels are encamped round about us, right? At all times. But how many knows you can't just pull that out to do something that you want to do and think he's going to take care of you. Let me explain a little bit more. He goes on and he questions the lady. She's going down there for a sale. She pulls out and quotes Psalm 91, you know, God's going to take care of me and all that, his angels and all of that stuff and everything. And so he couldn't figure this out, and he asked her, he said, well, what did you have anything on the inside about going or not going? And then they got to the root of it. She said, well, she said, I did have a little bit of something, you know, about maybe not going. She said, but I Psalm 91'd it. She quoted Psalm 91. Now, you can't take Psalm 91 to override what you're getting on the inside here. Why? Because the Holy Ghost, if you've been born again, the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, he is our leader, he's our teacher, he's our guide, he's our standby, he's our comforter, he's our counselor. And I found out, counselor, that means he could also be your therapist if you need a therapist. He's all these things, and he lives on the inside of me and you. So you can't just take written word and throw it out there to override something that you're getting on the inside. And sometimes that on the inside, it seems so small, if you're not careful, this up here will override it. Because of what it looks like, because of what you want. So anyway, come to find out, the Holy Spirit is trying to tell her, don't go. See, the Apostle Paul, at one point, now we know Jesus told him, he told the disciples, and they began to tell everybody, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? Doesn't the Bible say that? Jesus himself told the disciples that. Okay, over there in the book of Acts and beyond, Paul is going and he's preaching everywhere. Then he's fixing to go over here to somewhere to preach, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit forbid him. How did he forbid him? He didn't have written word. On the inside. He forbid him to go. We would call it maybe check you or something down those lines. He's got something about not going there. Well, because he's not going to go there now, he doesn't know where to go. Well, then he has a dream. And in his dream, there's a man from Macedonia asking Paul, telling Paul, come over here and help us. He knew that that was God and that was his direction. See, God speaks in many different ways, and it's our job to hear and our job to discern. You know, it's kind of like things that's going on in New York and different places. You know, you see these people rising up and They're saying they're for the people, you know, just like the Mam Donnie just put a freeze on the housing, you know, where their rent can't go up and different things like that. And it looks like he's doing good for the people. But how many knows when you begin to examine that, it's not. When you begin to examine that, how many know, Sandy, if you are making payments on a house that you're renting out and you use those payments to pay all the bills or whatever, the land taxes, you know, the bank note, all this stuff, the upkeep on the house, say you're not on a fixed rate. How many knows when you're not on a fixed rate, you're on fluctuating when the interest rate goes up, the rent goes up. When they go down, the rent goes down. And if you're on one of them, how many knows, if he's put a freeze on that, then sooner or later, they're expecting it to come to where it can become now a government takeover. You see what I'm telling you? Sometimes things look good, and see, that's the day and age we live in, is deception. Looks good, sounds like it's for the people, but how many know it's not? And any time anybody or anything sets out to make people dependent on government is wrong, and God is not behind that. Because God is supposed to be the source of absolutely everybody. Right? He is our source. And see, that's what he's been telling us all this time, and it's what he always tells his people from the beginning. Just like whenever they was over there in Egypt or whatever, they had darkness and plague and all that over there in Egypt. But there at Goshen, they had what? Light. God was their source, right? Not Egypt. Glory to God. So we have to learn how to walk and to live by faith. Now, just like that lady, you don't ever want to override what you're getting on the inside. Sometimes it looks very good. Sometimes it sounds very good. And sometimes you have to examine what is the end result of this going to be. Do you get what I'm telling you? Because, see, the day and age we live in is the day and age of deception. You've got AI, you've got all these talking heads out here that they say they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and it looks like it's good and it's going to be good for all this, but it's absolutely not. So we have to learn how to walk and live by faith. So how do you do that? You walk and live by what you get on the inside. And listen, you don't even have to know a lot of word. When me and Scotty first got born, the reason why that is because the Bible talks about, I think it's in that book of Hebrews, but anyway, talks about how that God said that in the latter days, he'll no longer write his word on tables of stone, but he will write them on the tables of our hearts. So once you get born again, you're born of the Spirit of God. Now you're alive unto God, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit comes in, and his job is to begin to lead us and guide us into the plan of God. And that is every aspect of our life. The way we dress, the way we talk, where we go, where we work, where we go to, absolutely everything. Because see, his plan didn't just start when we got born again. His plan started before the beginning, before he ever even started this thing. Best way I can describe it is kind of like a movie. Did y'all know in the movies, the way they make movies is they start the movie, they start it down here where they're wanting to end up at, and then they back it up, and they put all their characters in it, and they make that movie to where it ends up where they want it to be. That's exactly what God did. He done the end before he ever started the beginning. So every aspect of our life is in God's plan. And it's our job, the Bible says, if we'll seek him, what? We will find. Now, see, some people, they think because they asked him this morning and they didn't have the answer by lunchtime, he didn't answer. How many know sometimes you got to seek God more than a few minutes? Sometimes you got to pray longer than 10 minutes. God, y'all not saying much. Sometimes you got to pray long enough to where you can just get your little flesh quiet. Sometimes I start praying and I'll think of all the things I need to do, or some chicken in the refrigerator and I ain't eat and all this other kind of, you got to quiet all of that down. And sometimes that may take a little while. But anyway, what I was saying, a lot of times when you first get born again, you don't even have to know a lot of what the Bible says. When me and Scotty first got born again, most of y'all have heard the story. He was very, very racist before we got saved. Anyway, we still go to the laundromat, and we pulled up at the laundromat, and lo and behold, there's two Mexicans there. and their car won't crank. And I just get my stuff and go on into the laundromat because I'm thinking it's about to hit the fan. Because that's what always happens. I mean, we're down there, what used to be Piggly Wiggly, and I mean, there's some coming out of the store down there, and he gets the bumper jack out of the back of the truck, and these guys ain't even said anything to him, Samantha. Nothing. They're just coming out of the store. He gets the bumper jack out of the back of the truck and goes over there and starts beating up on them at the car, slams the car door on one of them's leg, and I'm just sitting in the truck 8.5 months pregnant, and I'm just, oh, gosh, this is just terrible. But I dare not say nothing because, I mean, then it's going to be on me, and I don't want none of it. But anyway, he's very racist. We pull up there. There's two Mexicans there. The car won't crank, and so they asked him. They live down there. I don't know if it's still called that, but it was called Bowley's Trailer Park. We're in Oneonta. And he says, yeah. So he comes in the laundromat and tells me he's going to take them home, and I mean, I'm like shocked. Then they tell him, well, we got a case of beer, you know, can we take our beer, you know? And so he lets him put the beer in there, and he takes them home. Well, while he's going to take them home, I don't even know, Samantha, you can hear God. I think we've been saved like months. I didn't know you could even hear God. I keep hearing this, works worthy of repentance. I don't know that's a scripture. I start rebuking the devil because I'm like, I don't know that you're supposed to hear God, and I don't know this is God, but I know there is a devil. And I just keep hearing this over and over and over and over, and I'm rebuking the devil and all kinds of stuff. And he comes back to the laundromat, and he comes in, and I said, I keep hearing this, works worthy of repentance, when I told him it stopped. I didn't ever hear it again. Well, lo and behold, later on in the Bible, we come across that scripture that says, have works worthy of the repentance that is taking place on the inside of you. We did not know that was a scripture. But how many knows, because now he's born again of the Spirit of God. How many knows, when you get born, the love of God comes in you the day you get born again. You don't always have to walk in it. You can override it. But that's in there. Right? The Bible says, according to Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So the love of God is in there, and it's operating because it's in there. He doesn't know that's a scripture to do that, but because he's been born again, now he's living from what's on the inside of him. Now he's no longer a racist, he is a lover. That's every born-again believer. That's why I say you don't have to know all of the Bible or a lot of the Bible just to do what the Bible says. You can find out later. Why? Because if you live from this inward man, he never leads you or guides you in anything that's going to be contrary to this written word. Never. Right? The Holy Spirit, God authored the Bible, and then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit moved on holy men of God to write this down for us. So how many knows the author of the word is not going to contradict the word in any way? So that's one of the ways that you can tell and discern what you're hearing. The Bible says that the Word of God is alive, that it's quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and marrow, right? And is a discerner and intents and thoughts of the heart. Thoughts that you're having, you can use the Word of God to discern them. Because how many knows we should not just let every thought just go a play on a tape in our head that comes into our head. Because see, you can't stop the devil from bringing a thought to you, but you can stop the thought and put a stop to it. And the way that you do that is when a thought comes to you that you know is not according to the Word of God or is not God or what, just like this, you know, you start having bad thoughts towards somebody. Well, you know right off the bat, God wouldn't be giving you bad thoughts towards somebody, right? So you know that's not him. So you begin to come out of your mouth about the love of God. Oh, the Bible says the love of God thinks no evil, but is always ready to believe the best of every person. Say it out of your mouth. And how many knows? Those thoughts will stop. And if they come back, then you just do that same thing again. Right? But it's something that has to be learned. And the more that you want something, or the more that you want to do something, a lot of times it's going to be the harder to hear from God. Why? Because you're involved in it. But how many knows each one of us is supposed to discipline ourselves? Gosh, we just got really quiet now. Discipline ourselves. We discipline our thoughts, right? We discipline our desires. because we have to be good stewards. We discipline ourselves concerning finances, concerning money, right? We should. Because, see, you can have $10,000 this week, blow it, and be broke next week. And that is not the will of God. For some people, it's not God's not meeting their needs. It's just they're not taking care of their needs. They're indulging their flesh, their desires, things that they want. Glory to God. So that inward man is the one that's supposed to be leading us and guiding us. The more you learn to develop your spirit. When I say that, that's like I didn't used to do it. I didn't know it or whatever. But when I found out my mind belongs to me, my mind is my mind, and I'm supposed to live out of my spirit, man, he's right down in here. He's not up here. He's right down in here. And a lot of times when I have a question, see, sometimes you don't even have to say it. There's sometimes the Holy Spirit will answer me in here before I get the question out of my mouth because he lives in here. But when I'm looking for an answer or something, just like this morning, I'm looking. I've been looking all week. Found nothing. When I say I'm looking, I had a lot of things go off in my head about what I could talk about. This subject, that subject. Because there are a lot of subjects in the Bible. But how many knows I could get up here and talk about a washer and dryer and it be anointed and y'all be like, woo, glory to God. And have a revelation about a washer and dryer. Or I could get up here and talk about something deep intellectually and y'all be like, oh, God. He is what makes all the difference. It's whatever he is saying. That's where the anointing is going to be. And that only comes from on the inside of you. It cannot come out of your head. And you have to do it by faith. You have to believe he's in there. You know, I quote that almost every morning before I do my reading and all of that stuff. You know, I tell the Lord, thank you, Lord. I have been born again of your spirit. Therefore, I am your sheep. And I hear your voice at all times loud and clear. And the voice of another I will never follow. See, every time I say that, that reaffirms. Reaffirms. Every time you say that, that reaffirms. I do hear you, God. I am your sheep. And how many knows that we got Christians that are like, I just don't hear God. I just can't hear him. I just can't hear him. The more you say that, the more you are establishing and affirming to yourself that you cannot hear him. And that's contrary to what the Bible says. We all, if we all been born again, every one of us in here can hear him and should be hearing him, right? And obeying him. Glory to God. The Bible says, according to Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. You couldn't be born again without faith. But you also could not be born again without grace. Grace, just to simply put it, is the favor of God, everything that he gave us that we did not deserve. And he gave us everything that we did not deserve. We did not deserve healing. We didn't deserve righteousness. We didn't deserve goodness, right? We didn't deserve all the promises that he says in him are yes and in him amen. You know, I come to find out that day that Travis was up here and it came out of my mouth. I didn't mean to say that. It came out of my mouth. God's favorite word is yes. The day that come out, that has just like been ringing on the inside of me. God, your favorite word is yes. And the scripture backs it up. In him, all the promises, everything he's promised us, everything he's given us, the Bible says, in him are yes, and in him amen, so be it. Right? So God's favorite word is yes. But how many knows there's a lot of Christians that they run around and they think God's favorite word is no. They don't measure up. They're not good enough. They don't pray enough. They don't fast enough. They blew up at their neighbor, you know, or they do this, or they do that, or they don't do this. How many knows all of that stuff is a tactic of the enemy? And the Bible talks about even our own hearts at times will condemn us, but God never condemns us. The Holy Spirit will convict us. What that means is that you have a sense of that's wrong. You might not even know why it's wrong, but you have a sense of that's wrong. But how many knows that the enemy does that? Why? So you will not receive by faith what God has given you by grace. Because you can't fast enough to earn it. You can't pray enough to earn it. There's nothing that you can possibly do to earn the goodness and things that God has given us except by faith. And you know what that is? If He said it, just believe it. And if you believe it, it's going to be coming out your mouth. If you believe that God has healed you and that Jesus paid the price for that with the stripes on His body, then it comes out of your mouth at all times. Not out of your mouth when you're at church, and then when you're out here, something else is coming out. Because in here, if you really got faith concerning it, there's nothing else that can come out. Because to you, when you believe it, it's already done. Glory to God. So grace has given us everything that we didn't deserve. But then it's also given us everything like mercy. We didn't deserve mercy. God's given us mercy. Right? We didn't deserve salvation. We don't deserve righteousness. We don't deserve any of that. But the good thing about it is also His grace has given us the things that we didn't deserve. Right? We should have got this, but God gave that. And see, that if you're not careful, even sometimes Christians, church people, I shouldn't say Christians probably, I should maybe say religious people or whatever. God can do, or let me put it this way, not God can do, He's already done. You can have whatever you can believe for that's in this word. You can have it. Absolutely have it. But see, it's going to be by grace because you didn't deserve it, and then it's going to be by faith. The Bible says the same way that we receive Christ Jesus is the same way that we are supposed to walk in Him. That means I'm not supposed to just be have faith or believe in God when I need something or when I want something or I need an answer. It's an all day, every day, all day long, communion, walking, relationship with Him. All day long, you're looking to Him. All day long, you're thanking Him. I don't know about y'all, but I thank God for air conditioner. I'm telling you, when it's hot, I thank God, I wouldn't say daily, but probably weekly, maybe more than once a week. Thank you, God, for air conditioner. And I pray for those that are having to stand out there, you know, like road workers and different things, you know, because they're having to bear the heat out there. God help them to stay hydrated and cool and different things like that. You know, why? That's God's goodness. Thank you, Lord. And how many knows that'll help keep you in the right spirit? All you have to do is to get in a wrong spirit is have a thought and let it come out your mouth. I tell you right now, I don't know why in the world I have to do this and why they do that. Well, number one, just keep your mind on you and you'll be better off. Because you can't figure out why people do the things they do sometimes. Sometimes I don't know why I do some of the things that I do. Oh, glory to God. But He says that we have to receive it all by faith. What is that? It's simply, to put it just simply, it's what you believe. It's confidence. It's trust. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Not my might, not your might, but of His might. He's almighty, right? And that's what He's talking about. Believe in the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. You figuring out what it looks like, what it sounds like, and all that, and He will direct your path, right? Ain't that simple? But you can get it very complicated. And listen, let me say this. When you feel pressure, that's not God. Let me explain what I mean by that. When you have this, I got to know, I got to do, I got to do, I got to do, I got to know, I got to know, I got to hear you, God, that's not Him. So what you need to do about that is 1 Peter 5:7, right? It says, cast all your care, all your anxieties, that's what the Amplified says, all your cares, your worries, your anxieties, all these things, cast them over on the Lord because He cares for you, Richard. The Bible says that you are worth more than many sparrows. And I ain't never seen a sparrow sitting on the power line going, God, what am I going to do? I got to feed these babies. Where's a worm? The Bible says that He feeds them. The Bible talks about the lilies of the valley over there in Matthew 6, I believe it is. It says they don't toil nor do they spin. What's that mean? They don't work, but yet He clothes them with glory. Right? He says we are worth much more than all those things. But He says we seek Him first. Why? He has the answer and the key to absolutely everything. And when He has our heart, He can direct us. You know, we should be like what they call neck-reined horses. Y'all ever seen some of them? That rein just barely touches the horse of that neck, and that horse just goes to the left or the right, wherever you put it. Then you got some, they put what's called jawbreakers in their mouth. You know what those are for? Disobedience. Those are the ones, they're stubborn. They refuse to trust God. They're going to worry. They're going to care. They're going to try to figure it out, right? Because it looks like you need to go left when God's telling you to go right. See, the whole thing is about just trust Him. Because He loves us and He cares for us. And how many knows? He knows tomorrow. He knows next week. He knows where you're supposed to be and where you're supposed to end up. And we don't know. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit helps with our infirmities, our weaknesses. How many knows that it's a weakness, the things I don't know? But Jude, when you're talking to the one that knows absolutely everything, just trust Him because He loves you, because He loves me, right? He has our best interests at heart. And when you trust Him, that's saying, God, I trust You. I have faith and confidence in You, God. The Bible says that He works all things together to the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, right? Not those that don't ever do anything wrong. Not those that are... Let me help y'all with something in case y'all didn't know this. They ain't a person in this room that is completely perfect in the flesh at all times. There's not a one on this planet. There's times... Now listen, you should have grown and developed if you've been saved a while to where you don't miss the mark quite as much as you used to, right? Your thinking should have changed. Your speaking should have changed, but we're all on different levels at the same time. So there's not a one of us that's going to get something from God because we've always done the right thing. We get it because He's good and because we believe Him, we trust Him. Amen? So it's we walk and we live by faith at all times, not by what you see. And that's one of the hardest things that I had to learn how to do and still continually learning. Because there's a lot of things in my life that it looks like it should be this. Because I know one time I was having a problem with my flesh. I was actually being very ugly. I was being mean and ugly and hateful and stuff like that. And I'd be like, God, I don't want to be this way or whatever. And so I was going to fast. And so, how many knows? The Holy Ghost knows everything. He's on the inside of you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your desires, all this stuff. So I was going to go on a fast. And on the inside of me, I heard this. You don't need to fast, Teresa. You need to walk in the love of God. Now, how many knows I could keep and continue on with that, fast till my eyeballs fall out and whatever, and nothing's going to change. Because He knows what you need and knows what I need better than we do ourselves. So I thought, well, okay. So every time that it came up, an opportunity, to walk, to yield to the love of God. What's that mean? Somebody's hateful, you come back with compassion, niceness. Right? Love is kind. Ain't that what it says, 1 Corinthians 13? You don't let yourself think bad thoughts about people. Because the Bible says that it doesn't keep an account of the things that's done to it. What's that mean? It means somebody do you wrong, you just have to let it go. And see, a lot of people won't do that because they think if I let it go, they're getting away with it. No, they're not. You're getting away. Because see, if we harbor unforgiveness and bad thoughts and feelings and things like this toward people and just talk about people all the time, excuse me, and what they've done to us and all of the, how many knows every time you talk about it, it's like pulling the Band-Aid off of a sore. When you pull the Band-Aid off of a sore, a lot of times you pull the scab right off with it, which means the healing that has been taking place. But if you'll by faith forgive, and it doesn't release the person, right? But it'll cause you to sleep good. It'll cause you to have a good relationship with God. There'll be nothing between you and Him. Excuse me. And then if something needs to be done with that person, God will do it. He knows how to do it. He knows how to change them, right? He might even have them to come back and apologize to you. I don't know. what it might be. But we have to let it go no matter what, right? Because we can't harbor any kind. You know, and I've seen people that are like, they hold things against their parents and different things like that from when they was a kid, you know, and all. You got to let that go. You're 35 years old, you know. I mean, it's kind of like Travis. He tells, which he's, I think he's kidding, but anyway. You know, I was pretty abusive when he was younger or whatever. Just, I had a really bad temper and different stuff like that. But anyway, that makes me think of that, I don't know. He's probably about Aiden's age, I guess. He says our floor, kitchen floor, was white. It was white, but it had blue and mauve specks in it. So it wasn't just completely white. But anyway, he had spilled some milk in the floor, and I told him, I said, get that milk up. Well, he can't see it. So I tell him where it's at, and he can't see it and all that. So anyway, I grab him by the back of the neck, and I put his head down there, and I said, it's right there. Now, he goes, and he's told the story to Beth and anybody that will listen to him. He's had the whiplash ever since he was about 8 years old, you know, and he shouldn't have been expected to see milk in the floor on a white rug. I use that example because it's a little bit funny. And you know what he's done? Same thing. Not in anger or nothing, just if, from, you know, because of where I'm standing right here and he's standing right here, how many knows it's not going to look the same? The light's not going to be shining the same way. So sometimes you just got to get them down there where they can see it. I don't mean in a bad way or nothing. Don't give them the whiplash. But the reason why I'm bringing that up, you know, is because, oh gosh, and then he outright lied. So bad that I hit him with a belt buckle and just cut him open, and never, ever happened in his entire life. I mean, all this kind of stuff he tells Beth, and she used to believe the stuff that he told. But, and the reason why I'm saying that is kind of funny, you know, or whatever. But now he's done the same thing to his kids. Not in anger, but put their head down there where they can see the milk. Once you get grown, you are responsible for you. A lot of people has had terrible, terrible parents. Done unimaginable things to kids. Hurt them in ways that some of us can't even imagine. You know, I think of Joyce Myers, you know, and there's people even worse than what she had it. I don't, you know, our mind can't hardly imagine that, but there is people that's had it worse than that, and they have forgiven them. Just like her, y'all remember hearing the story before, God told her, move them over there close to where she was at and take care of them. And she told God, I'm not going to do that. I can't believe you're even asking me to do that after what they did to me. But see, God knew she needed healing, and he knew what he wanted to do in them. So it ended up that she took them over there. I believe it was her and Dave bought them a house, took care of them. I think later had to put them in the nursing home, you know, because they needed, got to where they needed more care than what her and Dave or whatever could give them and all of that. Years down the road, her mama called her up one day and told her, I hope I'm remembering this right, told her, said, your daddy wants to talk to you. He wants you to come over here. He wants to talk to you. So she don't know what it's about or anything. And she goes over there, and Donnie, he tells her he's sorry for all the things that he did to her. And later on, they ended up getting saved. Her mama and her daddy. See, we don't know sometimes how the decisions that we make for and toward God, when it looks like it's not the right thing to do, it's not the thing we want to do, is going to affect and change somebody else. I truly believe if she had not done that. See, that had to be the love of God, Richard, that she showed to forgive them and to do what God asked her to do. Because natural love wouldn't have done that. Natural love will abandon their kids. Right? So sometimes you have, doesn't look like it's what you want to do, and sometimes it's not what we want to do. Right? Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. What's that mean? That means my cross is wherever my will is crossing his will. Just like her. I'm not going to do that, God. You know, and that might be how you feel sometimes to start with, and you have to pray and the Holy Spirit soften your heart and different things like that. Everything is not just instant, just like the time that y'all heard, or most of y'all have heard the story, you know, about Scotty. So I don't have all these stories because I don't get out of the house and socialize much. But y'all think I wasn't social now? Really, I wasn't social then. I mean, you pull up my driveway and I'll tell Scott, get rid of them. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. And I said, get rid of them. I just couldn't take people. But anyway, y'all have heard the story, you know, that he felt that somebody had done him wrong and somebody close to him and all of that, you know, and God told him to forgive them. And they had a office, a shop right there. Scotty would have to, on his way to work, would have to pass by there every morning and every evening on the way home, you know. And God told him to forgive them. He said, no, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm just not going to do it. But after a little while, a little time goes by, he tells God, okay, God, I'm going to forgive them. How many knows just because you say, God, okay, I'm going to forgive them, don't mean that your feelings change right then? Because see, you walk and you live by faith. I said I forgive you. I may have feelings that I hate your stinking guts. But by faith, I forgive you. How many knows that you do that by faith and you do that longer, feelings will change. So he goes on and finally tells God, okay, God, I'm going to forgive them. Every morning when he would pass by their shop on his way to work, he would put his hand toward the window and he would pray for them. When he first started praying for them, he wanted to pray, send the fire, oh God. You know, kind of like the disciples. Jesus, you want us to call fire down from heaven, burn them right up? What did you don't know what spirit you're of. That's not my spirit. That's a wrong spirit. So anyway, that's how he felt when he first started. But see what I'm telling you? These are feelings. Faith is in here, and it decrees and it declares what it is, what it says. I'm going to do what I said, regardless. Feelings, how many knows you can feel like you love somebody this morning, and Sandy Robert get on your last nerve and feel like, I can't stand him. Now, maybe you've never done that. I can. There's times I'm telling you, I feel like I love him so much I want inside of him. I can't hardly explain that. Then there's other times I'm thinking, look here, you blankety blank, I can do bad all by myself. Feelings. You don't yield to how you feel. You yield to what you believe and you know is the will of God and what the truth is. Right? Well, anyway, he had to do that for about 6 months. Can y'all imagine that? Every day that you go by there, you're sticking your hand. But Johnny, every time he done it, something changed a little bit more and a little bit more. And a little bit more, and a little bit more. Until he come to the place to where he can be around that person, and what happened never crosses his mind. That's freedom. See, that's what God intended. And also, when you're doing that, you're showing the love of God and leaving the door open for other people to minister to them. I've got some, well, we got maybe a second or two, I mean, minute or two or whatever. Do y'all get what I'm telling you? Because, see, it's something we have to learn to do because we have been so programmed, and still the way this world operates is by what they see and by what they hear, and we're not to be conformed to this world. We operate on a totally different level. The Bible says that we're in this world, but we're not of this world, right? Our home is another place. We get directions from different headquarters, right, from the Lord. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comment or anything before we close? All right, we'll recess till 11.